1290, streaming live at newspress.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11 and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates, and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Good afternoon, Neil. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks.
So it's showtime, and I was just wondering, do we have a guest today?
We do. We have Maria Elena Welch, the founder of Vita Leadership, in studio with us. Thanks for being here, Maria Elena.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin, as we do every week, with some articles. And the first article I have today from today's Washington Post, which shows you that I just read a whole eclectic group of papers.
You're very all business today, Neil. No small talk.
Well, because I have because the Washington Post is a serious matter. The headline is "Don't worry about a recession. Worry about the Federal Reserve." And the reason that this article should interest us is that it's about the small spread now between 10-year Treasury bill rates and 2-year Treasury bill rates, which is known as the yield curve. And when the spread narrows, as it has recently, to the lowest spread since 2007, there is a risk that the yield curve will turn inverted. And what that means in English is it means long-term rates would actually be lower than short-term rates. And that would be an indication, typically, of a recession, where people are expecting that interest rates will be lower because there will be no demand for money.
And as it stands right now, with the 2-year at, 2.45, let's say, and the 10-year at just under 3, there really isn't a good reason to take that excess risk of those excess 8 years.
And while there's been several articles about this in the last couple of weeks, this one caught my eye because it mentioned a risk that I hadn't really thought of, and that is if the Fed continues to raise rates.
Well, as the Fed chairman came out and basically said, he said, "I'm raising rates 4 more times this year."
Exactly. It could, if the dynamics that are causing the yield curve to narrow, you could actually exacerbate the situation, and you actually could get a inverted yield curve, which would cause a possible recession.
It certainly doesn't signal good in the economy.
Exactly. So that's why they say that, at least in this author's view, that we need to consider what the Fed is doing and how it may impact the economic boom that we've had, quite frankly, for the last 11 years.
Well, and what's interesting else on that is most Fed chairs don't come out day one saying, "Hey, I'm going to raise this many times during the course of the year." What their job really is to do is assess the economics and situation in the U.S. and determine whether or not a Fed increase is warranted or not. Mm. Whereas the new Fed chairman just came out and said 4 times, which is very unconventional.
Well, people have short memories. And for the last 10, 11 years, we've had interest rates at record low levels. And, people may forget, just like people forgot that interest rates were 18% in 1976, people may forget that interest rates actually can be higher than they are now because investors are kind of used to these very, very low interest rates, and that could make people complacent.
Which brings up a good point, that if you are thinking about refinancing, you should do it now. You should call Kelly Marsh at Cornerstone and look at that before rates, long-term rates on mortgages, really start to become higher.
Absolutely. The next article is from the Wall Street Journal, and the title of this one is "A Trump Win on China Tariffs Could Actually aid auto plants in U.S., but just not American ones. And this is an interesting phenomenon. What the article points out is that one of the things that Trump is trying to do is to force China to lower their car import tariffs from American-made autos. The problem with this strategy is that almost all American-made cars that are sold in China are made in China. So it would have no effect on American cars. The only manufacturer that makes its cars that are shipped to China in America is BMW. So the sort of paradox here is that if he wins this battle, he may lose the war because there's no benefit to American manufacturers, only to BMW. The next article is about steel tariffs. And, you know, we've heard a lot of news about steel tariffs having some possible negative impact, whether it be a trade war or dislocation in the supply chain. And what's interesting about this article in the Wall Street Journal is that the subject is about the New York Fed's report on what they expect the steel tariffs to accomplish. And they open up with the following quote: although it's difficult to say exactly how many jobs will be affected, given the history of protecting industries with tariff imports, we can conclude, remember, this is the Fed, not an investment advisor, we can conclude that the 25% steel tariff is likely to cost more jobs than it saves. The new tariffs are likely to lead to a net loss in U.S. employment, at least in the short to medium run. So again, we have information that is pretty obvious that there's going to be so much dislocation because as steel prices go up, everyone from car manufacturers to infrastructure
companies,
builders of how mm-hmm. of commercial buildings are all going to be affected by the higher price of steel, which will cause possible losses in jobs in those areas.
Haven't they started to back off, though, that steel tariff?
Well, we don't know. I mean, he announced all these tariffs effective sometime in May. It's May as in a week, and they're playing chicken. And the question is, what is going to happen? And, you know, the farmers are up in arms because what China did, which was very smart, is they announced a retaliation subject to the American implementation of these tariffs to hurt those businesses that were supporters of Trump. So you've got this this tension now that's created between the rhetoric and the plans that Trump has and the response that China has directed at Trump voters.
What's interesting is Europe came out with the same thing when he came out with these tariffs before he backed off the European tariff situation. They also came back with tariffs on Trump voters. And I feel like that's much more sophisticated than it's been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, everyone now has pretty much the same knowledge. And, you know, it's one thing to campaign on, you know, black and white issues, but nothing's black and white, particularly in economics. This next article I found to be a surprise. I was not aware of this, and that is that because of some of the regulations that have caused banks to have tighter capital restrictions, and because...
Well, really, because of what happened in the 2007 to 2008,
right.
The banks basically had no regulations on a lot of risky assets.
They are now less likely to facilitate large transactions between buyers and sellers in the stock market and the bond market. And so what's happened is liquidity, that is the ability to sell a large amount of securities at a price close to the last price, has been severely reduced. Here's an interesting statistic. More than half of the 8,500 listed companies trade less than 100,000 shares a day, a tiny sliver of what big stocks trade. So that you, again, you think it doesn't affect you, but it does affect you if you happen to be a investor in one of these funds. But it also affects you if you think about if we do have another stock market decline, the decline could be even sharper because there's no exit door. That is, if their price is 15 and everyone wants to sell at the same time and the average trading volume is 100,000 shares, when 5 million shares hit the market, you'll end up with a much bigger decline than you otherwise would. And that's a risk.
And what's interesting is most people lose sight of that in dealing with the stock market, because both stocks and bonds, it's a very liquid market. And what people lose sight of is the fact that you can only sell if there's a willing buyer on the other end.
And those proponents of electronic trading and those proponents of fast trading and the elimination of the New York Stock Exchange as a major player missed the point about what these exchanges were historically able to do, which was to provide some liquidity by having the floor broker make sure that markets were being operated effectively. And now when you're doing it all through machines and volume is very low, there's nobody there to sort of put the brakes on a skid or put a brake on when the stock price is moving too high.
And you often see then trading gets suspended at times.
Yes.
And that also creates panic and cause for concern.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
Or at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And feel free to call in with some questions. We have with us today a dear friend of mine, Maria Elena Welch, who is the founder of Vita Leadership. And she is a leadership consultant in both for nonprofits and the business world here locally and also in other geographical areas. But Maria Elena, thanks for being here. But how did you get to where you are? Because you have a very interesting background. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
You went to college.
Yeah, I went to college. I studied mechanical engineering, and I did a couple internships during that time that led me to conclude I did not want to be an engineer. And so I decided to take a job with General Electric in sales and sold big multi-million dollar capital equipment and really started down a path of being focused on client management, relationship management, customer service, consulting type of activity.
And GE at that time had a very robust training program, didn't they?
Yeah, they had this thing called the Technical Leadership Program that was basically their high potential candidates out of college that they hired into and invested a lot of time through mentors, training, classes.
It was almost like a mini MBA, if you will.
Very much right? so. Very much so.
You yeah. really made the right choice, not only because you enjoy what you do now better, but there was a front page article today in either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, and it was entitled something like a whole career at GE and now looking for a way to support their retirement because so many people have been hurt by the pension cutbacks at GE because GE is not doing very well.
But what GE did for me was at a very young age invested in my leadership development and really, I believe, planted the seeds of self-awareness that are part of the concept of emotional intelligence and being a better and more effective leader.
And your father was Welch, who was head of ABC,
exactly.
which helped you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, Jack
That's
Welch,
married
my dad.
Name.
I was not born a Welch. Wouldn't that have been lovely? But now I've married one, so.
Yeah. It's a win-win for everyone, right? So I think that's interesting that you say that because you, Maria Elena, are a leader across all levels of your life, really. You know, you coach, we met in the Junior League of Santa Barbara, and you always rose to a position of leadership. Mm-hmm. And do you credit that to this GE training program, or do you think you already were like that? Because I kind of feel like you were already like
that. Yeah, I mean, I do think there's some amount of it that you're innately born with that GE recognizes when it hires you. And when GE hires you, they actually look for a demonstration of leadership experience at college or in high school prior to hiring you. But certainly I think GE really shaped, I guess, what was there and really shaped and set me on a path of being someone who was much more aware of my strengths, much more aware of my blind spots, much more aware of an appreciation for personal growth. And, you know, I can remember going through those courses at the time and that path and being like, I would love to do this someday, to be the person teaching this stuff. Mm. And I don't think everyone goes through the GE leadership program from that perspective, but it was kind of picking up on something that I've wanted to be for a very long time, I think was innately within me, which was wanting to be a teacher.
Right. And you have a natural tendency to do that.
Yes.
And you're good at that. Mm-hmm. So let's circle back to emotional intelligence. What does that actually mean? Because, you know, you hear all these terms and it's kind of the hot term of the time and then people don't really circle back. So what does that mean in terms of business, in terms of yourself, in terms of how you can implement that strategy to help you be better in business or in whatever your career, parenting? It really crosses all.
Yeah. So emotional intelligence, or also known as EI or also known as EQ, kind of the counter to the idea of IQ or intellectual intelligence. I like to say the short version of it, it's being smart with your feelings. The longer version of it would be, you know, how do you effectively blend the information behind what we're feeling and cognitive rational thought to make better decisions, to be a more effective leader, to be more influential, to have overall greater quality of life and happiness. So it's not leading with emotions. It's effectively blending them. It's a fusion of blending emotions and valuing those on the same plane as also cognitive and rational thought to have better quality relationships and make better decisions.
Yeah, I'd also like to add to that. You know, I remember in kindergarten, they would grade your kids, you know, gets along and plays well with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we all laugh about that and say, that's the only thing that my kid was good at. But it's probably one of the most important things because emotional intelligent people know how to get along with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the difference between someone that graduated magna cum laude from Harvard Business School and is now pumping gas and someone that went to a community college that's very successful, it's probably the ability to find a way of dealing with other people. And emotionally unintelligent people just can't, they don't get it.
Right. And there's this component of emotional intelligence that's more internal. It's the idea of having self-awareness and self-management. But then the external part is being aware of other people's emotions and what's important to them, and how do you manage the relationship with them. So there's an internal part of EQ and or emotional intelligence, and there's an external. How do you put that out into the world?
And so, you know, at one point in the not that distant past, it was pretty much like whatever you're emotionally feeling, you need to check at the door. And
right.
we need to just use our logic and, you know, intelligence to make all decisions. And emotional intelligence pretty much throws that concept out the door and says, really, you need to be able to harness that and help you make the best decision possible.
Right. I like to say in my leadership classes, how many of people have heard the idea that, you know, emotions don't belong in the workplace? And there's invariably half the room's hands go up if they're being honest, if not more. And then I say, well, guess what? Then none of us belong in the workplace. Human beings don't belong in the workplace. Emotions are going to be part of the workplace. And so if you can be more adept at managing yours, navigating the emotions of others, you will have greater connection with people. You will be a better listener. You will be more influential. You'll make better decisions. Just in general, your quality of relationships will go up, and therefore your effectiveness will go up.
Every time I hear somebody say that, though, I can't help but to think of Tom Hanks in the baseball movie saying, "There is no crying in baseball."
Right, right, right. Well, Tom Hanks was someone who was uncomfortable navigating other people's emotions
right. while coaching an all-female right. baseball right. national baseball team.
But this is what we know about emotions. We know that emotions drive people. And so if you want to motivate people, you need to understand how to tap into not only what they're thinking, but what they're feeling. And often when you're trying to implement change, that resistance at the core, when people don't get on board with your vision or implement a new process, at the core, it's not because they logically resist it. It's because there's some emotional need that is going unaddressed that they may or may not be aware of themselves. And so if you can, and we can talk about it when we come back from a break, but when if
you,
you can you
trying,
lean into it, you can.
Are you trying to take Neil's job?
Are you trying to run this show? You just hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry. I was just reading the body language around here that maybe I needed to
wrap it up.
But we can talk about how to navigate, you know, emotions effectively, because lots of people say that sounds good in practice, but how do I actually do it? How do I do that?
Well, you know what? I think we should take a break. I need to recover from this. You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe. One of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition.
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And if you have a question, feel free to give us a call at 564-1290 if you have a question for Maria Elena on emotional intelligence. But before the break, we were talking about what tips do you have for people to help navigate their emotional intelligence?
Yeah. So,
or their emotions in general.
Right.
You know? You're
right.
At work and all of a sudden you feel like you want to cry.
Right, right. Well, I think the first step is developing the skill of naming emotion, naming what we're feeling. We know that research shows that just in naming emotion, we start to feel better. That's why we see in school settings, we have teachers, preschool teachers helping kids name their emotion. Now with adults, the general thinking is we don't want to go about naming the emotion for other adults.
Like saying, you're feeling sad.
You're very angry, aren't you? Right? It's just better to say something like, it looks like you're upset. Can you tell me what you're feeling? And that step is calling validating. And it's important to understand that validating in this sense is not saying you're wrong or right or I agree with you. It's just saying I see you, you're feeling this, this is real, this is where you're at. And tell me what you're feeling actually neurologically creates the response in our brains where we have to bring our prefrontal cortex back into the conversation. We're not just emotionally hijacked, what we call it in the world of emotional intelligence. When we're saying hijacked, we're saying we've been put into fight or flight. This process of naming emotion brings our rational thought back. It reengages that part of the brain. And so it makes us feel better to name what we're feeling. And if whether we do it internally, like towards ourselves, to just reflect on what we're feeling, or if we ask what others are feeling, that's the first step to feeling better. And we call that validate.
So now let's say we're going through a company reorganization or something along those lines, and I'm feeling defensive. And will it help me to kind of calm down if I say to myself, oh, Diane, you're feeling defensive, calm it on down?
So that's the first step, is just naming it. And we talk about this idea of enhancing emotional literacy. It's a competency of emotional intelligence, which means having a broad and nuanced language to name emotion, because it's different to say I'm angry versus saying, what's that layer beyond anger? Is it the angry where I'm more feeling threatened? Is it angry that I'm feeling that it's actually more sadness? Is it more that I'm more disappointed? What is that? So even in getting more nuanced language to what we feel helps us begin to navigate the emotion. Then the next step is the exploration, which is where I think you were probably going, which is asking yourself questions like, what is this emotion telling me? What information is behind this? When have I felt this before? You know, often we're trying to look for patterns of our emotion and what triggers us into those emotions. And this step can be really hard, you know, trying to really peel back the onion and explore what the source of it is. But it begins with this idea of, let me back up. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you believe, you know, and I'll ask Neil too, you know, are there such things as negative emotions and positive emotions?
Well, I know the answer. So, Neil, you should actually answer. Do you think there are negative?
All of the above. Is this a multiple choice question?
Yes. See, all of the
above.
No,
of course there are negative and positive. There are, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that's how most people respond. Of course there's negative and positive emotions. And I would offer to you a different way to think of it.
Disclosure, I've been to one of Maria Elena's ceremonies.
But I would offer seminars. That you don't think of emotion as negative or positive. It just is. Now, there are emotions that feel pleasant or comfortable, and there are emotions that feel unpleasant and uncomfortable. There's some we like to feel and some we don't like to feel. But to label them as good or bad, what happens when we label something as bad? We think we should minimize it, ignore it, suppress it, reduce it, avoid it. It's a bad thing. So when we let go of the idea of emotions are bad, because we can name bad emotions, right? Like anger, sadness, jealousy, etc. But if we were to separate from that and go, you know, anger fuels, there's a purpose for anger. It gives us energy to push through barriers. Sadness is an emotion that allows us to check into what's important to us and what we might lose. You know, fear serves a purpose to have us identify risk and mitigate risk and keep ourselves safe. So if we can unattach from emotions being thought of as something as bad and instead look at them as they serve a purpose, and part of that explore step is saying, what's the wisdom in that emotion? I'm feeling this right now. What is it trying to tell me? When have I felt this way before? So for example, I'll use an example, not to throw my husband under the bus, but there was such an easy target. So easy. But we were having an exchange about how to manage my son's homework. And he had a really strong opinion that me using a certain carrot with my son was not okay. And I, to be honest, really kind of lost it and was really upset. And in the moment, we had this kind of heated exchange. And then I came back, did this naming emotion and exploring. And what I realized is what I was really feeling was a little bit resentful, not just angry, right? I was feeling resentful. I was feeling unappreciated. And I was feeling, kind of ignored that my requests for help with homework weren't going on, resentful that you have an opinion, but you haven't been helping all along, unappreciated that you're not seeing all the effort I've made up until this point, right? And so it led to being able to have a very different conversation because I was able to take the wisdom out of what I would have maybe only labeled as anger. I was able to have a very different conversation with him about, look, you have an opinion about how to handle this. My request is, if you want an opinion,
you need
to buy in and help, right?
Right.
Or, you know, you haven't earned a right to have an opinion because you haven't been contributing in this way. Or at least before you give me your strong opinions, show some appreciation for all the work I've done so far to try to work through this issue.
And this shows you that this is not just for business. This is also for relationships like marriage.
Exactly. So that exploration step is what you do to understand what you're answering is, what's the wisdom in that emotion? What is it trying to tell me? What purpose is it serving? And the byproduct of good validation and exploration is transformation. And that's in that example I had with my husband, that's what I had. I had a transformation. Oh, this is really what's bothering me. This is what I really need to talk about. These are options of how to move forward. And so I think of this navigating emotion competency of emotional intelligence as this formula of VET, the VET, validate, explore, transform. And we can use that in work. We can use that in our personal lives. We can really, really use it with our children when they're having a moment.
Great parenting workshop that just really opens the eyes to new parents and old parents, you know,
because when we talk about social emotional learning for our children, we are coming off at least a time and culture of which we've been trying to minimize our children feeling bad feelings, right? And what it costs us, it costs them the opportunity to feel something that doesn't feel comfortable and come out the other end and realize that life goes on. And that equates to them building the skill of resiliency. So if we are constantly kind of jumping to transformation for them, which another way of saying it is we're jumping to problem solving for them, we're not teaching them the skill of how to navigate their emotions and understand that they have the ability to do this. And so it's so important with children to take a pause, no matter how much we're uncomfortable in the moment or feel that their feelings are unfair because they're turned them on mommy or daddy, right? You're such a mean mommy. I'm so sad. To be able to stay out of that and say, I see you're feeling really upset, and empathize first with them and connect through validation, and then explore with them what the options are forward and see their little minds learn how to transform their own world. That results in resiliency.
Absolutely. And now with your corporate clients, so you as a consultant are hired by individual people to be their coaches. You also teach classes at both UCSB and City College, and you also have a pretty long list of corporate clients. Mm-hmm. What types?
So if you do all of that, how come you want to take over this radio show? Anyway, I think it's time for a break. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Star Jasmine Music serves over 3,600 people per year. By providing a safe, supportive environment to explore music, you'll find a place that resonates within. We teach songwriting and how to play a variety of instruments. We have a Pro Tools state-of-the-art recording facility and provide opportunities for teens and young adults who show passion for music and demonstrate talent to record their work. This experience has been known to better one's self-esteem and often leads to development of skills in business and self-management. We have special programs for at-risk youth, as well as the mentally and physically challenged. When ready after a 10-week series, we record our students and give them a CD to show the fruit of their efforts. This experience leads to self-confidence. Visit us at www.starjasminemusic.org. Star Jasmine Music. Sharing music exploration through teaching and recording.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa, now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937. Located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
And I have sad news on the Arlington Bocce front. We did not win the tournament. We are out. So tomorrow we're just going to cheer on the usually we're in the championship game in this league this season. We are not.
You said you won every year.
We have. This is the first season we have not.
That's very sad.
Very sad. But anyways, the show must go on. So before we went to a break, we were talking about corporate. Corporate work that you do with with your list of corporate clients. So what types of workshops do you do? Because you were a chief operating officer for many small businesses, and you've also consulted in that capacity. What do you do now? And is it all EQ, or do you have some other leadership trainings that you do?
Yeah, sometimes people will come to me specifically with the idea that they're already bought into or have read about the idea of emotional intelligence. And so I'll come in and do kind of introduction to EQ type of workshops and coaching, individual and team coaching. But more often the work I do is general leadership development work within organizations. So working with a team, working with an individual. But I believe all leadership models have a thread of emotional intelligence as its foundation. And so I really provide a lot of focus of teaching it from that way and making it very hands-on, you know, very experiential learning, very doing exercises, less lecture, more exercises in the workshops to how do you apply this today.
In real life.
To real life. Because, you know, emotional intelligence is, like I said, part of its self-awareness and self-management. And then there's the relationship awareness and relationship management. So in the coursework, we're doing exercises of let's create some self-awareness right now through these exercises that you can then take out of this workshop to put into action in your job
so,
every day.
So if you're dealing with your husband or you're dealing with your children or friends,
not that you're asking for your personal issues.
No, but you are able to, you know, you can express some of these feelings. What do you do if your boss is a Neanderthal? So your boss just doesn't want to hear this touchy-feely kind of stuff. Other than get another job, how can you use this with someone who's really not interested?
Yeah. So there's a variety of techniques. I would say the first one is learning how to have your own self-efficacy and assurance, you know, that self-awareness of your strengths, your capabilities, your skills, and to be confident in those so that boss's bad behavior isn't triggering you into bad behavior. That's number one. And so to do that, you have to do some soul searching about what those capability strengths are, so that you have that grounded foundation to not be triggered. The other thing I would say is understand what it is about your boss that's triggering you. Often these Neanderthal bosses, I would say a lot of them, I would draw a distinction between Neanderthal bosses and people that are just different from you. People who are, you're more of a social person, they're more of an analytical person, you are more of a driver, they're more of a people person. You know, there's different types of personality styles. And we often label people as that are different from us as difficult. And so understanding, you know, is this person really a Neanderthal? Are they really a difficult person? Or is there something about their personality and my personality or their behaviors and how I respond to them that is ineffective for me to build a relationship with that person? And then the third thing I would say is listening. People love to be listened to. So, you know, connecting with people by asking questions, and getting to know them often open up even the toughest of cookies. And then finally, I would say, you know, if you've done all that kind of exploration, then you have to ask yourself, what is the employment environment giving you that's a value that makes you choose to stay despite being in a situation that's not, that your boss isn't meeting your needs? And sometimes you make a choice to stick around because it's meeting those values and meeting those needs despite the boss. And other times you're like, you say, I've had enough.
Right. Yeah. And part of it is, you know, it's interesting. Through my work, I see people making the same choices. So though they leave one job because they feel like their boss is terrible and blah, 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 blah. And then their next role or next company that they join, they have the same type of figurehead at the top.
Right.
And it's interesting for me to watch them make the same decisions, but they must have some, they must be able to navigate it or have learned to navigate it well or thrive on something that that type of person gives them.
Right. And we talk about that in the world of EQ, of recognizing your patterns. Some patterns serve us and make us very successful, and some patterns undermine us. And so lots of times we will recreate employment patterns that aren't serving us until we get to the root cause of what feelings we're really having, what needs are really being met or not met, and more intentionally make choices as opposed to subconsciously making choices.
So if someone's listening right now and thinks, oh my goodness, you know, Maria Elena is talking my talk, I want to reach out to you or to her and see what options there are for me or what options there are for my company. If I'm at a company, who should I go to in the company to say, oh my goodness, I heard this radio show and this woman's great?
Yeah, so
Who typically hires you in the corporate world?
Yeah, it depends. It's often a team leader or the organizational leader or the CEO will say, I want to do some leadership development in the space of emotional intelligence or in the space of navigating conflict or delivering feedback or team building. I'm trying to think what else. Just kind of communications, having difficult conversations. These are the kind of spaces that people usually ask me to help them with. And so I would go to my team leader and say, this would be a great way to do some team enhance, you know, development, team enrichment, team building. If you, the type of organization where you have a CEO that you could have access to, you would start with there. Sometimes it starts with reaching out to your human resource department, and, or you can reach out you know, directly to me. If you're interested in investing in yourself, I do one-on-one coaching as well.
And you also offer workshops that are open to the public through 6 Seconds, right?
Yeah.
An organization.
So 6 Seconds is the world's largest nonprofit that's mission is to have 1 billion people practicing emotional intelligence. And so it's really just a network.
It's a big room then you have to fit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's called the Earth. but they have a series of network leaders, and so I'm a network leader here in Santa Barbara. So I hold free emotional intelligence workshops 4 times a year. I just got the news that UCSB is going to partner with me on space, so I'm going to start doing that on the UCSB campus starting here shortly and through the extension. You can find out more about those workshops by going to my website and subscribing to my newsletter, because I usually publish those kind of dates on my website and in the newsletter.
Perfect. And so what would you say is the reason why people come to you the most? Like what are usually, as an individual, if I wanted to hire you as a personal coach, what would be the thing that people most often come and say, you know what, I want to hire you because I'm struggling with, is it my boss? Is it my relationship? Is it my partner? Is it my spouse?
From an emotional intelligence perspective, it's mostly I want to improve the quality of my relationships with the people around me. And for leaders, it's typically, I want to become a more effective manager. I'm having trouble motivating people. I'm having trouble getting buy-in. I'm having trouble communicating my message. I'm challenged in just being as effective as I want to be. Those are the 2 big buckets.
Isn't it interesting that for someone to be able to verbalize that and act on it, you have to have some emotional intelligence.
Some level of self-awareness, yeah.
Someone who really needs it probably wouldn't even think of doing that.
Yep. And there are clients of mine that have what they call high potential contributors who are low in emotional intelligence, and they'll hire me specifically to save this person from
themselves.
Getting from themselves because the team is rebelling or the employer is rebelling, you know, like they can no longer accept that person's interactions with each other. And they're kind of saying, fix it, but they don't know how to coach it. And so they'll hire someone like me to help do an emotional intelligence assessment, which you can assess EQ. There are assessments out there. And coach them through how to develop those specific skills.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. And believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Cota Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And if you're just joining us, we have Maria Elena Welch, the founder of Vita Leadership, in studio with us today talking about emotional intelligence and how we can navigate more effectively in this world. And so, what kind of positive responses have you seen in your clients after you've been working with them?
Yeah, so when we just went to break, we were talking about sometimes people hiring me to work with someone who needs to grow their emotional intelligence because it's getting in the way of them being effective. And so the feedback that I've gotten was that the team, that the quality of their relationships have improved, that they have more awareness of the impact they're making on others, and they're more aware, more able to kind of notice their patterns and kind of that are not serving them and come up with new patterns, nip them in the bud that aren't serving them. So, you know, I had one student in a class tell me that I completely shifted his way of looking at management because it was moved from being one where you needed to be the authoritarian and tell people what to do and wear more of a hat of building relationships and connecting with people, and that leaning into the emotions of others was a path to actually be more influential, and that he didn't have to have all the answers to be an effective manager was a big shift for him as well.
Revelation, yeah. Really, you know. Because it probably made his job a lot less daunting, you know, to think that you always have to have the answers.
Right. We often think we are supposed to advise in everything, and we really... The best leaders are ones that are able to coach and grow the people around them, and see that as part of their job.
Right.
And in doing so, they build an organization around them, and they build connections and trust and relationships. That the sky's really the limit if you look at the people around you as people that you need to grow and develop, not just tell them what to do. It's kind of the adage of, don't do the fishing for them. Teach them how to fish.
One of the most difficult things for many executives to do is to say, I don't know.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate because it gets a lot of people into trouble because they don't have the ego strength or the emotional intelligence to say, no, I don't know the answer to that. What do you think?
Right.
It's very hard for people who are trained to be leaders to step back and say, I don't know the answer.
Well, and the core of that is fear. Right? It's unmitigated fear. Fear of being exposed for not knowing it all. Fear of being looked at as incompetent. Yeah. And so this is what we get to when we talk about, you know, emotions drive people. The more that we can understand, oh, that fear is about me feeling inferior and incompetent. Am I really inferior or incompetent? What evidence do I have that I'm really incompetent? Actually, there is a lot of evidence that I'm not. So I can navigate that emotion and push through.
So if people want to either reach out to you, how the website is the best way for them to reach out to
you? Right. So my website is Vita, V-I-T-A, leadership, SB.com. So Vita as in life, Vita leadership, SB for Santa Barbara.com.
Perfect. And so, you know, also they could sign up for classes through City College or through UCSB.
Correct.
Is your name next to the... course offering if you're teaching it?
Yep. Yes,
perfect.
It is.
Okay. Thank you so much. I feel much more able to go out into the world as a retired person.
Your wife might like you more now.
right. Well, I have my therapist for that.
Yes.
You know, I need a team. I need a team approach.
Need a team,
I need a team. You've been listening to Money Talk. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
It's